Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land. This is KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. And for our virtual listeners, we hope you stay glued to our website, kptz.org. Our website is more than a place where you can just listen to today's shows. You can find the biographies of all of our hosts and our DJs. You can look up calendar listings to see what's happening around town. Much of the original programming on KPTZ is currently available as podcasts. You know, double your listening pleasure. Listen to today's show as well as some of the older ones. I'm Marianne McNellis. This show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who was that young guy in shorts and flip-flops walking into QFC the other day? Doesn't he realize it's not summer anymore? And who were the somewhat older guys playing pool down at the American Legion? There was a range of ages, but all were proud veterans. It's now the time of year where the young bucks, and I mean the animal kind, are chasing does around, so we're looking for a bumper crop of Bambis come spring. But it means you better watch out for deer darting across the street. The other day, there were two white-haired ladies so engrossed in their conversation while crossing Monroe, they almost got trampled by our fearless deer. Jefferson County is full of all sorts of fascinating characters. This show, Our Town, tries to profile some of the singular personalities who live here. But the show's only a half hour long, so it's a synopsis. We try to talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otter, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. Today, my guest is Kelly Barlow, a talented massage therapist with a thriving practice here in Port Townsend. Welcome to the show, Kelly.
Thank you, Marianne.
So let's start at the beginning. Are you a local girl born and bred right here in Port Townsend?
Yes, I am.
And you went to school here, and rumor has it, you even went to what is now the world headquarters of KPTZ at the Mountain View campus. It was a school when you were growing up, right?
It was, yes. This was the junior high. So it was 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, and that swimming pool was part of our PE class.
Cool. And then you went on to Port Townsend High School?
I did, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, high school kids are notorious for lumping each other into some group. You know, they say, she's a nerd, he's a jock, so-and-so is a band geek. What do you think your peers thought of you?
I was definitely on the fringe. I was a perimeter girl, and I did make friends with somebody in all of those groups, but I wasn't really part of a group.
But rumor has it you were a cheerleader.
Yes, I was. My senior year in high school, I was a football cheerleader.
Oh, well, yeah. That's cool.
That was a new thing for me, and being my senior year, I thought I'd dive into trying something new with different peers, and it was a great deal of fun.
Yeah, well, you know, I just happened to be reading an article today about the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, and there was a picture. Now, somehow I don't think the outfits you guys wore were quite like that, but what did cheerleaders wear?
Yeah, I don't think they were quite as sexy as those Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. No, we had the little pleated skirts and the little sweater with your emblem on the front, a little Indian, because at that time we were the Redskins.
Right.
We did have the giant pom-poms, which they no longer use. They use little tiny ones, but we had these huge pom-poms, and you got quite a workout doing your routines.
I would think so. Well, today, the high school cheerleaders are very much into tumbling and gymnastics, essentially. Was it that way then?
It wasn't. No, we weren't quite into that.
Yeah.
I think we did attempt a pyramid a time or two, but we really weren't into the gymnastics.
Okay. So, out outside of class, what did teenagers do at that point in time? What was there to do for fun in Port Townsend?
We had a great rec center, and actually my father ran that rec center for years. It is now the senior center, but that entire building was our community rec center, and the whole top floor where the senior center is now was pool tables, foosball tables, ping pong tables, and the place was packed.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it was fun. They had dances in the gym.
There was a bowling alley here at some point in time, too.
There was, yes. That is now the co-op.
And what about, was there roller skating?
Yes, we had a roller skating rink, and that is a church now across the street from Blue Heron Middle School.
Huh. Sometimes I personally think it'd be nice to have a few of these things back. But
yeah, the roller rink was a concrete floor, so I can do without that. The wood floors are much more forgiving when you take a fall.
I would think so. So when you were a teenager, did you have any part-time jobs?
I did. Like I did have a lot of jobs. I started babysitting at a young age, and then I moved into house cleaning. And then when I was 15, I worked at a restaurant called the Judge's Chambers, which is now where I think it's called the Victorian Mall, and the bead shop is in there, and there's a t-shirt shop that's part of it. But that was a two-level restaurant called the Judge's Chambers.
Well, you know, a different guest mentioned that to me sometime back, and it was apparently a very elegant restaurant.
It was in that time, yeah. If you were to see it now, you probably wouldn't call it elegant, but yeah, it was. It was a nice restaurant.
So when you were a teenager, were you one of these people that really knew what you wanted to do when you grew up?
Yes and no. We weren't really an era of thinking too deeply about what our dreams were, where we wanted to go in life or travel. We didn't even have computers in school, so we weren't hooked up to the world like everybody is now at a very young age. I really wanted to start a family, and that's what I did. I got married out of high school to my high school sweetheart and moved down to Centralia, Washington. He worked in Chehalis, and we started a family, and I had two sons. We had two sons.
Nice. So you had your first and your second child at a very young age then.
Yes, yes.
You were still a teenager.
I was. I was 18 when I had John. He's now 34. He and Nick are 20 months apart, so he's...
Yeah, well, when you're a teenager, you have lots of energy, which would be good with two little boy toddlers.
Yes, yeah, there are benefits, yeah. I did have a lot of energy, and it's helpful.
Yes, I would think so. So what was your husband doing down there? What sort of job did he have?
He worked for a coal mine, strip mining in Chehalis, and originally it was called Washington Irrigation and Development Company, or WIDCO for short. And Puget Power was next door to them, so they would mine the coal and then sell it to Puget Power, and that was our power for this state for a very, very long time. It was a steam plant. Mm-hmm. I can't really remember the year that it closed. It's been at least a decade, but it was several hundred people that were let go, which was pretty devastating to the economy of that Southwest Washington area.
Yeah, well, I really wasn't aware that Washington State was dependent on coal at one point, because I've always heard about the hydroelectric stuff.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people had no idea.
So how long were you down in Centralia?
4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what happened next?
Well, we got divorced. Mm-hmm. No surprise. We were very young, and oftentimes these things don't work out. Sometimes they do, which is fabulous. My kids and I made our way up to the Seattle area. I enrolled in culinary school.
Okay. Why culinary school? What drew you to that?
I love to cook. I love food. And it's a career that I felt was a good fit for me. So I enjoyed it very much.
You went into catering, I believe, right?
I did, yeah.
Give us an example of some big event that you were involved in to give us an idea of what it entails to be a caterer.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's all over the map. It can be a very intimate, small party for private people, or I think the largest wedding that I ever catered was 800 people.
Wow.
And yeah, that was quite an ordeal. I had a lot of staff under me at that time to make sure all stations were covered. When I moved back to Port Townsend, was in 1994. Yeah, John was going into seventh grade. It was the first year that Blue Heron was open. And I went down to Lonnie's restaurant bless his heart. I wish he was still with us. And he hired me to do a catering event for him at the building that is now Sea Marine. And it was a fundraiser for the Maritime Center. Mm-hmm. And I actually just had a woman call me a couple of weeks ago that I met there. She had remembered that
you did it.
I did that catering job. Yeah.
But you're missing a step or two. You were in Seattle catering. Mm-hmm. You found it a bit difficult to do the long night hours and weekend hours when you had two young children at home. So you changed careers a bit. What did you do next?
That's true. Long nights, which required me to get a babysitter. I just didn't want to be away from my kids at that young age. So I went into administrative work and I became a receptionist secretary for an engineering firm in Bellevue, Washington.
Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy that?
I did. Yeah. It's a woman-owned business. It's out of business now, KJS Associates. The owner of that business, Karen Savage, she and I are to this day very good friends.
Wonderful. All in all, you lived in the Seattle area for a number of years. What drew you back to Port Townsend? What went on in your head?
It was family. I didn't want my kids to grow up as teenagers in the city. It was time to move back home and be closer to my mother, who still lives here, my stepfather, my sister, and her husband. It was time to be in a community that if you don't see your kids, somebody you know is going to see them. So you sort of always know where they are.
Okay, so you were in catering and then in business, mm-hmm. and the massage is like a third career. Yeah. When did you start studying to be a massage therapist? What happened there?
When I was still in Bellevue, mm-hmm. I decided to go to massage school. What spurred that on is that I had been in several auto accidents, beginning as a teenager, never driving in any of them, but had sustained whiplash in various ways. I finally sought out massage therapy at the encouragement of a chiropractor that I had been seeing. That's what really got me healed, got my neck functioning much better. I was very inspired by how much it helped me, and I wanted to be able to do that for others. I've always been into exercise, being healthy. I felt it was just another layer to inspire people to be able to live healthier lives.
You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. The show is called Our Town, and I'm the host, Marianne McNellis. Our Town profiles some of the fascinating people who make up the fabric of the community here. Today, my guest is Kelly Barlow, a massage therapist with a caring touch. Kelly was just telling me how her career path morphed over the years. First, she was in catering, then she switched to an office job in large part because she had two small children at home. Long evenings and weekend work took her away from her kids. She was in a couple of auto accidents and was able to see how much massage helped her, so she decided to investigate massage as a career. You did some massage work in Seattle before you came back here, is that right?
While I was working my full-time job, I went to Seattle Massage 3 nights a week. After I graduated from that, I had an office in my home for several years, and then when my children and I moved back to Port Townsend, I did the same thing. I found an administrative job so that I could support my children and had a massage studio in my home.
I see. So you transitioned without just diving full-time into massage. One thing that surprised me when I moved here is it seems to me there are more massage therapist per square inch in this town than anywhere else I've encountered. It's obviously a pretty competitive thing. What do you think contributed to your success? What are the elements that made it take hold and allowed you to build a large clientele that you now have?
I think a lot of it is reliability. I treat my business as a job. It has regular hours Tuesday through Saturday, and I'm available. I return calls. The lights are on. I'm there. And for a long time, I had a storefront uptown right next to Pandemore, and I was there. I think it's the reliability. that I made myself available. And it wasn't until after my oldest son graduated high school in 2001 that I decided to pursue full-time massage, and it just took off. So I marketed, talked to a lot of people. I knew a lot of people, but also didn't know a lot of people at that time because this town has changed a lot. There are a lot of new people.
Yeah, I would think so. Mm-hmm. So you had the storefront uptown for how many years would you
take? 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
And what were the factors that went into your decision to move out of that location to your current location?
I had an area of my house that I wasn't using, and it was at that point that I had a light bulb moment and realized that it would be the perfect studio. So my wonderful partner, Chris, and I did just that. We spent 3 months renovating it, landscaping, and now there I am. I think it's been 6 years that I've been there.
Oh, so how would you describe the ambiance?
I think it's very peaceful and relaxing. It's a beautiful courtyard that you walk into. There's a lot of parking. It's private. There's a reception area. So you're not walking into my home. You're coming into a business with a reception area. The studio is just off that, which I find lovely. It's a lovely space to work. Hopefully it's a lovely space to receive massage. It's got beautiful gardens. One of the walls is a 16-foot wall of glass that I can open all the way in the summertime to a beautiful garden. And there are birds flying by, and there's a fountain. And
flowers, beautiful flowers.
Flowers, yes. Yeah, lots of flowers. It's just a very tranquil setting. Wonderful for me to be working in all day. Like I said, I wanted a space that I felt was very soothing, very comforting and welcoming for my clients.
Hmm. It's a fairly feisty, independent thing to do, to have totally your own business instead of working for someone else. How did you come to the realization that you could do that?
You know, I just took a leap of faith. I had a very specific vision about what I wanted for my clients, and I wasn't going to get that working for somebody else. So I just ventured out on my own.
There are many different kinds of massage. I've heard these terms, like there's Swedish massage, there's cranial, something to do
cranial sacral.
That's it. You got it. Can you explain a little bit about the differences of certain kinds of massage?
Sure. Yes. A Swedish massage, a lot of people are under the impression that it's a superficial massage, and it's not by any means a superficial massage. It's actually a very deep massage, which involves different strokes called effleurage, petrissage, and then you've got some friction and some linear gliding strokes. The petrissage is like kneading bread dough. It's a very decompressing, very soothing way to treat the body. I have found that most massage therapists don't even do petrissage anymore. I'm not sure why. I tend to do a lot of petrissage. I suspect that once they get into the more advanced techniques, into what they would consider deep tissue, people just perhaps find that the basic Swedish is too basic or not deep. It's not the truth, though. We're getting a lot more into the fascia, which is as if you have a onesie in your body and the muscles are tucked into that network, that connective tissue, and there is fluid that runs through that connective tissue that has sort of a crystal gel texture to it, viscosity to it. Hmm. And that really is the communication center to your muscles and your nervous system.
Well, who gets massages in your experience? And you sort of break it down. Is it mainly women, mainly men? What's the ratio, you think?
For my practice, it's probably 60-40.
60 female?
Yeah. And
What about age groups?
Boy, that is from one end of the spectrum to the next. I've worked on people that are in primary school. And of course, at that age, you have to have the parental permission and they need to be in the room with you. Mm-hmm. It's been wonderful to see those kids learn what safe, healthy touch is. And they also get connected with their bodies, which I think is really important.
That's really interesting. In Washington State, you can't just hang out a shingle and say, I'm a massage therapist, right? You have to be licensed.
That's correct.
What's the process to get a license?
You go to school. You have to graduate and get certified from a school. And then you go on to take a state board exam. You've got to pass that in order to obtain your license. And then every 2 years, you have to do continued education credits in order to maintain that license.
And so what would be an example of a continued education experience?
The most recent one that I did was a zero balance technique, which is a lot of energy work, as is craniosacral work. It's all energy work, but this is more a specific way of application that are developed by various people.
And what exactly is craniosacral? I can barely say it.
Craniosacral work deals with the way that the cerebrospinal fluid circulates around the brain and down the spine and throughout the whole body. You're working to free up blockages. That can happen with stress. It can happen with accidents. It can happen with overuse. You get compressions. And it blocks that flow of energy or fluid moving through the body, which is what brings nutrients and eliminates waste.
So are most of your clients repeat clients? I mean, are people come back time and time again?
Yeah, they are. I've been very, very fortunate. I've got wonderful clients. I'm so grateful for them. Over the years, we have become like a family. I see them every week, many of them every week, and have for years. And it's wonderful to see them on that path of really taking care of themselves and allowing themselves to receive massage and the benefits to be had from massage therapy.
Well, with those sort of relationships, you must develop sort of specific things for specific people when you know them and you know what strengths and weaknesses they have physically.
That's true. Yes, everybody needs something a little bit different. So my massage is dictated by that. What does this person need? What are their requirements? Some people come in after a surgery and need very specific work, or perhaps they have a rotator cuff injury, hips, knees. Sometimes they do just want their relaxing massage every week, but that has many benefits.
Yeah, I know. I first started getting massages mainly for stress, but it's evolved over time. What are some of the things you like to do outside of massage?
I love to garden. I love to read. I do a lot of reading. I am an avid exerciser. That's part of my daily life. I do yoga.
Do you go to a yoga class?
I don't. I used to go to a yoga class. Colleen Swantner was my guru for years out at the Yoga Shala. She still teaches yoga here in town, as well as she's up at Puffin Shoe Repair.
Yeah, and she was a guest on the show a while back.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
So when you do your yoga, do you have a special room for it?
I do. I have yoga mats. I've got mirrors so that I can check to see if I'm in the right position. Often how we think we are in our bodies is not actually where we're at. So it's helpful to have a mirror to make adjustments to make sure that you're getting the most out of whatever your exercise is. And I also ride a bike a lot. It's my primary mode of transportation.
Rumor has it you have a very special bike. Tell us about it.
I do, yes. I recently got a new bike. I went over to R&E Cycles in Seattle. They've been there since the 70s. They built me a frame based on my measurements, the specific requirements of my riding style, handlebar style, shifter style, paint color, and they built me a bike, and it truly is a game changer. I've had it for a couple of weeks now, and I love it. It's a fabulous bike. I'm doing rides I never thought I'd be able to do.
Like what?
With my friend Lisa, who also has a Rodriguez bike. So now we're the Rodriguez girls. We rode the Larry Scott trail to Four Corners and continued on to the H.J. Carroll Park and watched three-year-old soccer, highly entertaining. Yeah. And then went out to the Farm Stand store and had some lunch and rode home back on the Larry Scott Trail. I think it was 23 miles round trip. And it's not a trip that I would have embarked on with my other bike.
That's quite ambitious. 23 miles of bike ride. Woo.
I was surprised at how easy it was. And it really is the bike.
That's amazing. You mentioned earlier that you went into catering originally because you liked to cook. Do you still cook a lot?
I do. I love food and I do love to cook. And I'm on a real health conscious effort in my life to eat a lot of plant-based diet, and salads are one of the greatest things that I like to prepare.
Okay, give us an example of a salad you might have made recently.
Well, this morning I made a broccoli salad. It's a raw salad. It has broccoli, pomegranate seeds, purple cabbage, apple slices. We have a lot of apples right now, walnuts, chia seeds, and it's dressed with plain yogurt, and it's absolutely delicious.
Sounds like it's also visually quite attractive.
Very beautiful, yeah.
Huh. Well, what about baking? Weren't you into baking at some point?
I loved to bake, and I still do love to bake. This summer, I indulged in baking quite a few pies. I do love to bake. I love the artistic outlet of it in decorating cakes, but I try not to eat too many of those types of foods, so I don't want them around, otherwise I'll eat them.
We understand that. Well, we're almost out of time here, but I wanted to ask you, what is it you really like about Port Townsend? Why do you stay here? What keeps you attracted to Port Townsend?
The community. I love the community. I love home. There's nothing more important to me than home. And I don't mean just my house home. I mean my whole community. I love seeing people that I know, going to businesses, friends of mine, going to the Rose Theater, going to the winery, riding my bike. I love being able to ride my bike to do my errands, my banking, my grocery shopping, as long as it's not too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are seriously out of time, but I just wanted to get in. Your two sons are now grown up.
They are.
But neither of them is currently living in Port Townsend. What are they doing?
They graduated from high school in 2001 and 2003 from Port Townsend. One of them is in Los Angeles and has a successful business down there. And the other is in North Carolina, has a very successful business there. Quite different careers, but doing what they love to do.
Do you think either of them will end up back here?
I suspect so at some point. Yes, they do love coming home to visit.
Okay. Well, we really are out of time. You've been listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. The show is called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. My guest today has been massage therapist Kelly Barlow. Thank you so much for being on the show, Kelly.
Thank you, Marianne. It was a pleasure.
And I also want to thank my partner, John McPherson, the man in the glass booth, the editor and producer of Our Town. He's the one who smooths out all the ahs and ers and gee whizzes and makes me and my guests sound so much more eloquent than we are in real life. I also want to thank program director Larry Stein, board chair Robert Ambrose, and station manager Kate Ingram. All three work really hard to make KPTZ into an excellent community station. I also want to thank you, the listener. As you know, KPTZ is an all-volunteer operation. We value you both as a listener and perhaps even as a volunteer. We value your dollar contributions, of course. We're solely funded by donations. This show, Our Town, attempts to profile some of the unique individuals who make Jefferson County the special place that it is. Keep listening to KPTZ for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.